Hey there, it's Kona Gallagher, host of And Then They Were Gone and Day by Day True Crime Stories, and I'm here to bring you an amazing opportunity to win some incredible prizes, all for a good cause. Join the Texas Advocacy Project's The Big Game Football Squares Raffle on February 9th, 2025, and help support survivors of power-based abuse. For every $100 donation, you secure a square and a chance to win amazing prizes. You can choose from two exciting grids. The Hawaiian Paradise Grid offers a grand prize of a seven-night stay for two at a luxury resort in Oahu or the Big Island. Or play the Beachfront Mexico Grid for a chance to win a four-night, all-inclusive stay for two at a five-star Marival Luxury Resort in Banderas Bay or Nuevo Nayarit, Mexico. Your contributions help survivors understand their rights, navigate the justice system, and secure emergency protective orders. To participate, visit TexasAdvocacyProject.org and select your grid today. Don't miss out. Tune in to the Texas Advocacy Project's Facebook page on February 9th, 2025, during the game for live updates on winners. Prizes are awarded at the end of each quarter, with the grand prize at the game's conclusion. So score big for a cause. Visit TexasAdvocacyProject.org to learn more.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Imagine your daughter stops responding to your calls. You know this isn't like her. Your mother's instinct knows that something is wrong. Your other daughter agrees that her sister would never just ignore them. You go to the police for help, but you receive none. This is the nightmare that Anita King lived. On March 24th, 2020, Anita and her daughter, Pepita Redhair, had lunch together before Anita dropped her off at the Albuquerque, New Mexico home she was sharing with her boyfriend, Nicholas K. It was a completely normal afternoon, but it would prove to be the last time Anita would see Pepita. Pepita's boyfriend claims that she walked out on her own volition to be with another man. But could there be more to the story? When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell you the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to tell you the story of Pepita Redhair. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Kona.
And I'm Ethan.
And we're the husband and wife team behind this podcast. Each week, I tell you the story of an unsolved missing persons case. Ethan doesn't know anything about the case going into the episode, and he is here to provide his reactions and questions in real time, hopefully asking some of the same ones you have at home. So this week, we are covering yet another missing Indigenous woman. Pepita Redhair is a proud member of the Navajo Nation, but has the unfortunate distinction of also being a member of the ever-growing list of missing and murdered Indigenous women. Pepita's family firmly believes that her Native heritage plays a large role in the lack of attention both law enforcement and the media gave to her case initially. Thankfully, media attention has at least picked up, but whether a robust investigation will follow still remains to be seen.
Did I miss it? Is she on the res or is she somewhere else?
She was in Albuquerque when she went missing, but she did grow up on a reservation.
I'm just wondering what jurisdiction has the case.
Well, yeah, that does become an issue as we get into it,
okay,
because there was a question around that, as there often is in these cases, because
right,
of all of the
overlapping. Jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who's going to take point on it and what resources are available, even though reservations are federal land.
Right.
does the FBI get involved? Is it local jurisdictions that take the lead? Is it the reservation that takes the lead?
Yeah. So that, like I said, does become an issue, which we'll get into. So yeah, so let's go ahead and just get started here with the story of Pepita Redhair. Pepita Madeline Redhair was born in Gallup, New Mexico on August 4th, 1992 to Anita King. When she was five, her family moved to the small town of Crown Point, New Mexico, which is a small town on the Navajo Reservation, about 130 miles northwest of Albuquerque. Pepita was a talented artist and a social butterfly. She loved to skateboard and would carry her board with her everywhere. Crown Point didn't have many opportunities, and Pepita wanted to do more. After graduating high school, she decided to move to Albuquerque, which, you know, that's a big city. So she wanted to move there, and she eventually ended up enrolling in the University of New Mexico and got a job at Hot Topic.
Oh, all right.
Yes. So she was enrolled at school, and she was studying to become either a teacher or an engineer.
So not art-oriented.
No, she had a lot of interest. She was really smart and, yeah, just wanted to try a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, nothing wrong with that.
In 2016, she met a man named Nicholas Kay. He was a few years younger than her, also a member of Navajo Nation, and the pair fell in love. In 2017, about 6 months or so after they started dating, she moved into the Albuquerque home that Nicholas shared with his father. Now, Pepita still had a room at her mother's house in Crown Point, and she would frequently return to visit and stay there. So she was incredibly close with her family, and even though it was about 130 miles away, like, she would go back and forth a lot. Pepita was incredibly close with her mother, and the two spoke every day. But as Pepita grew into adulthood, she, of course, grew into her independence and made her own decisions, some of which worried Anita greatly. Though Pepita and Nicholas's relationship started out strong, I mean, early on, like, Pepita was asking her family about Navajo wedding ceremonies, for instance, and like how they differed from traditional wedding ceremonies. Like, she was very serious about Nick and serious about this relationship. But disturbing signs soon began to emerge. According to Anita, Pepita loved Nick and was willing to do anything for him. But one day, and Anita doesn't say when, so we don't know exactly what the timeline is on this. But, you know, this whole relationship lasted about 4 years. So it was definitely a long-term situation. So at some point during this, Pepita came to Anita and told her that Nick had hit her. On an episode of Disappeared, Anita said, quote, "I told her, you know, you can't be with somebody that does this. Once they do it, they will always do it again," end quote. But Pepita was convinced that it wasn't going to be a problem and that it had only happened because Nick had had too much to drink. According to Darlene Gomez, Pepita Redhair's family advocate, there were numerous police calls to the home, to Nick's home, due to domestic violence. However, none of these calls resulted in an arrest, and we don't know the specifics between them, like who they involved. Because again, Nick and Pepita were living there, but Nick's father was living there. There might have been other family members kind of in and out. So we don't know details, just that cops were called to the home.
But not necessarily creating a specific record of violence around Nick.
Correct. And not between Nick and Pepita.
Right. Yeah. That's
because Nick does have like some stuff on his record from like around 2018. But again, I don't know the context of it. But according to PETA's medical records, she had been hospitalized a few times. And again, this is coming from the family advocate.
Okay.
So we don't have more, you know, she's not going to like go into great detail on that, but
not even to the nature of the injuries.
No, she hasn't gone into public detail on that, but Pepita had been hospitalized a few times. You know, people did report seeing her with bruises, things of that nature. So like I said, we don't know exactly when the abuse started, but it was seemingly ongoing. Anita said that she tried to convince her daughter to move back in with her full-time in Crown Point, but Pepita didn't want to. She said there were no opportunities for her there and that she loved Nick and wanted to work things out. On March 24th, 2020, the COVID pandemic had just come to the U.S. Despite this, Anita and Pepita were able to have lunch at a McDonald's that day. After they finished, Anita drove Pepita to Nick's house in Albuquerque. Pepita told her mother that she loved her and headed in. Anita told the Navajo Times, quote, "She always called me every day saying, 'Mom, what are you doing? What are you up to? Do you need anything?'" End quote. But Anita didn't hear from her daughter the next day as usual. So she texted Pepita asking if she was okay and, you know, asking Pepita to call her. But that call didn't come. On March 27th, Anita texted Pepita again, but still received no response. She tried calling her, but same thing. And no one else in the family had heard from her either, which was completely out of character. So Anita began to panic. She called Nick and asked him to call or text her to let her know where Pepita was, but likewise, he did not respond.
See, that's where it's suspicious, though. The fact that he didn't respond either.
Right, yeah. And yeah, did not respond at all. And so at this point, it's 3 days since Anita has heard from her daughter. And that's not their relationship.
Right.
For a lot of people, it may not be weird to not hear from your 27-year-old child for 3 days. But in this case, it was extremely out of character. So the next day, March 28th, there were still no answers. So Anita called Albuquerque police. She attempted to report her daughter missing, but they told her that at 27, Pepita was an adult and she was free to travel.
Right.
They assured her that she would pop up in a few days or a few weeks.
We don't want to waste our resources or time on this, so you're on your own.
Yep. Anita and her other daughter, Shelda Livingston, knew that that wasn't the case, that Pepita wasn't going to just pop up in a couple of days or a couple of weeks. They knew that the cops were looking at this very differently than they were looking at it, right? Like, yeah. They know Pepita. They know her routine, like how she is, right? The cops don't. What the cops saw was someone who liked to party and had gotten into some minor trouble with the law. Like, she had a few arrests and things like that, right? She had previous alcohol-related arrests for disorderly conduct and trespassing. She did even also have a charge of battery on a police officer.
Not great.
No. And so her family believes that her record made the police take her disappearance less seriously. Because they're basically like, well, she's probably just out partying somewhere and she'll come back. But that's not something that Pepita had ever done before. And they knew that despite her past mistakes, Pepita simply wouldn't vanish without a word to them. So since the police weren't willing to help, they started to search on their own. Pepita's family went to Albuquerque and started handing out flyers that they had printed at their own expense. They went to all the places that they knew Pepita liked to hang out. She also rode the bus a lot, so they handed out flyers at her bus stop. And, you know, people knew her. Like, when they were handing out flyers, especially, like, at the bus stop and stuff, people were like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know her. Like, she, you know, I see her.
Yeah, you see her during your commute.
Exactly. They're like, yeah, no, but we haven't seen her lately. Didn't know she was missing. Yeah. But, like, people knew her, you know? Now, of course, the first place that Anita went was Nick's house. And this house is pretty imposing. It's guarded by a cinder block fence with an iron gate that has a beware of dogs sign on it. And in an episode of Never Seen Again on this case that I watched, they showed the home and there were four large dogs behind the gate that appeared to be Dobermans.
Oh.
Like, it's intense. So Anita said that she went to the home and, like, basically just, like, yelled out and, you know, tried to get, like, Nick or somebody to answer, but no one ever did. And when she was describing this, she's like, the cars were all there. And she said, I saw somebody in the window, like, moving the curtains and looking out. She's like, they were there. They just refused to answer the door for her. Meanwhile, Anita was still getting the runaround from Albuquerque police. And this is where we get into the jurisdictional issues.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. So they told her that since Pepita was a member of the Navajo Nation, that they needed to contact Crown Point Police to look into her disappearance.
Even though she was living in their jurisdiction.
Correct. And that's where she was last seen.
See, that's wild to me.
Well, yeah, it was also wild to the Crown Point police, because when Anita went to them, they're like, why are you talking to us?
Right.
Like she was in Albuquerque. She doesn't live here. This has literally nothing to do with us.
If a crime occurred, it occurred in Albuquerque, not in Crown Point.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have the jurisdiction to go and investigate
in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times tribal police will coordinate with other agencies and things like that. But like Albuquerque wasn't doing anything. There was nothing to coordinate.
Yeah. Albuquerque said, go talk to tribal police.
Yeah.
But I mean, so tribal police technically are federal agents,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean that they have jurisdiction over other agencies.
Other local agencies. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that got her exactly nowhere.
That's insane. I can't believe Albuquerque would do that.
Yeah. Well, so then she went back to Albuquerque and she's like, hey, like they can't help me because this happened here. And they basically threw their hands up saying that everything was shutting down due to COVID and that, you know, Pepita would turn up anyway.
So they have a potential missing person in their jurisdiction. They say, go, because she's native.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, first they said, we're not interested. She's 27.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Right. But then eventually they're like, okay, well, so maybe she's missing, but because she's belongs to like a tribal community and she at one point in her life lived on a reservation, go talk to tribal police, even though the crime or potential missing person occurred in our jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. And so then, yeah, they still weren't interested. Then on March 30th, Anita received a disturbing text from Pepita's phone. And this is so frustrating because on that day, Anita received a message from a man who said that he had bought the phone off of some guy. So like this man who had the phone was basically homeless and like he just bought the phone off of some dude on the street or whatever.
Okay. And he's like scrolling through contents and...
Well, no, he was getting the text because Anita was still texting and calling the phone.
Okay.
And so like clearly, he saw these texts from like this worried mother and was just like, hey, like don't know what's going on, but I just bought this phone from some guy.
So presumably it had been wiped clean.
Yeah. I mean,
or reset or whatever, but the phone number was still active. So,
right. Yeah. So I don't know if it had been wiped or whatever. I do know eventually that police did get warrants for her, for her phone records. Mm-hmm. So we do know that we have the electronic, they have the electronic information, if not, you know, the actual physical phone.
Gotcha.
Right. So,
but it's not like the text messages were coming in labeled as mom.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what they were, if they were or not, but I think it was pretty clear what they were.
Yeah, sure.
But what's really frustrating about this is that I was never able to read or see anything that indicated whether or not police ever talked to this guy who had the phone, whether they interviewed him, whether they asked him like where he got the phone, got a description of the guy who sold it to him, like found out when and where it was sold to him.
Or potentially even searched for him.
Yeah. So I don't know if they followed up on that at all, which is incredibly frustrating because, again, the person who sold the phone might be
a suspect
or, you know, at least like some sort of witness or somebody important to the case.
Somebody
one way or
another
would
be a person of interest. Yes.
Yeah. And I just do not know. I saw no indication that police ever followed up on that. Anita tried to put pressure on detectives as the days and weeks went by without word from her daughter, but to no avail. Then on April 19th, and I don't know exactly what prompted this other than I'm guessing Anita constantly like calling him, Nick reported Pepita missing.
This is like almost a month?
Yes. So Anita dropped Pepita off at Nick's house on March 24th, and he reported her missing on April 19th.
Okay. I can't wait to hear his story.
Yeah. And so we, you know, because it was an official missing persons report, we do get some degree of a story from him. According to this police report, Nicholas and Pepita went out for a drink on the night of March 26th, which again already seems odd to me given COVID restrictions, because I feel like by March 26th,
things were shut down.
Yeah. So I don't know where they would have like gone to get a drink. But again, I don't know what was going on in Albuquerque, you know, on March 26, 2020, what their actual orders were, whatever. But in any case, that's a story that March 26th, they went out for a drink. So anyway, he said that they argued and Pepita walked out. I don't know if it was she walked out of wherever they had gone out to get a drink, or if they had gone home and argued there and then she walked out of the home. Not exactly sure about that, but she left.
And so again, this is the 26th.
26th, 2 days after.
2 days after no contact with mom.
Exactly.
When there were, when the typical relationship was that she would contact her mom every day.
Every day. So if
we have a 2 day gap of unusual behavior. And then in his statement, he gives the 26th as, you know, something happened.
Right. So like, according to him, like nothing weird happened between the 24th and the 26th. So it was only the 26th that things got strange. So from what I can see, he offered no explanation as to why Pepita would not have contacted her family.
Right. So he's already, his timeline's already messed up.
It's already weird, right? So according to him, the next day, the 27th, so Pepita walks out after the fight, doesn't come home that night. He gets a text from her the next day, the 27th, saying she's with another man.
Because that's typical behavior for her.
Yeah, exactly, right? Nicholas said that they had met up with another man the night before on the 26th, who in the police report he called Lammy, and he believed that Pepita could be with him.
Okay.
So he's like, yeah, we did see like this guy she knew while we were out. She's probably shacking up with him somewhere.
They've been together for 4 years.
Yeah.
And like, they had a fight. She leaves, whether it's a bar or his house.
Yeah, whatever.
And then it's like, oh, well, she must be with some other dude.
Yeah.
And maybe it's Lammy.
Yeah. And I won't answer her family's phone calls.
Right.
And I'll report her missing a month later. And
so like, okay, so let's get it. Is there more to her, his statement, or is like that basically,
that's it? Basically what we get from him. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So I'm with this girl for 4 years.
Yeah.
We have a fight.
Yeah.
She sends me a text the next day and says she's with another man. No follow up.
Oh, exactly, right? Like, and that's the thing, too, because, I mean, he was known to be controlling and jealous.
No, so but, like, you know, in this situation, it's like,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, bullshit.
So when Anita and Shelda got wind of this, they were confused. Like, why had Nick not told them any of this?
Right.
And why did he wait so long to file a missing persons report? And who was Lammy?
Also, I'm curious as to why the Albuquerque police took his report as a missing person, but not her mom's.
I think by this point they had taken it, but like they weren't really investigating.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I think they pushed the buttons. I think they put her in the system. I think she's in NCIC, but like, I don't think they were really doing anything about it, you know?
Do they start to pick up the investigation at this point, or
no, it doesn't really seem so.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, Anita and Shelda do. So, you know, so they've got these questions. And they couldn't find the answers to the first two questions, like why Nick hadn't told them this and, you know, why did he wait so long? Because Nick's still not talking to them. But they did take to Facebook in hopes of answering the third question. And it turns out that Lammy was a man named Laramie Begay, and he did know Pepita.
Okay.
However, according to him, he didn't see her or Nick on the night of March 26th. He said that the last time he saw Pepita was 2 weeks earlier on March 10th, which was his birthday. He said that Pepita gave him a cupcake and a card and that Nick was pissed about it.
Ah, here we go.
Yeah, because Nick was extremely jealous and the couple got into an argument. Laramie said that he didn't want to get involved in this whole thing.
Right.
So he left. And as he was leaving, he said that the argument escalated and he saw Nick hit Pepita. Now, to my knowledge, Pepita's family found out all of this via Facebook.
Okay.
They don't believe that the police ever spoke with Laramie or got a statement from him about the last time he saw Pepita.
Why? Why are they not doing even the basic investigation?
I don't know. Like, the entire thing is confounding, honestly. And this turned out to not only be a huge missed opportunity, but it's one that cannot be rectified because Laramie passed away on September 26th, 2021 at the age of 38.
That's young.
Yeah.
Was it COVID?
I don't know.
Wow.
Frustrated by Albuquerque police's lack of an investigation, Pepita's family soldiered on alone. They searched a desert area near Nick's home where people did a lot of illegal dumping. They literally put on gloves and poked at giant black trash bags with sticks to see if Pepita's body was in any of them. Mm. Can you imagine?
No, that's terrible.
Like, doing this and knowing that there's a potential that your loved one could be in these bags, but you have to do it
because the local PD isn't doing anything.
Yeah. They asked for cadaver dogs. No, they weren't given anything. They were just on foot doing this on their own.
That's just completely wild to me. Like, I don't understand just completely ignoring this.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane to me. I don't care what the climate of the world was at the time. I'm in law enforcement. I was in law enforcement during COVID. We didn't stop.
You slowed down.
And, sure.
You know, you
slowed.
Yeah. And you didn't do a lot of like
the normal
extraneous, like whatever stuff. Yeah. But if shit happened, shit happened.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's completely just infuriating. Then on May 20th, about a month after Nick filed his missing persons report, Anita received a tip. A young female called Anita and told her that Pepita was at City Park. She didn't give any more information or details. Anita told Shelta about the call, and they immediately headed over to the park that they believed the caller was talking about. Shelta said on that episode of Disappeared, quote, "When we drove to this first place we thought City Park was, I looked around the park. There was a couple drinking, and she had her back turned. I ran to her. Pepita! I started yelling her name from a distance, but there was no response. So I approached them and clearly it was not Pepita. I had a flyer, so I showed them and they're like, no, we don't know who she is. We don't know her. I'm sorry. So I looked through the rest of the park. No sign of her. She's not here. So then I started thinking, go back on Google and look for City Park. See if we're missing anything else." End quote. So they went home. They did that, right?
Okay.
They Googled City Park again and something strange popped up. On Google Maps, there was an icon that showed a spot in the middle of a hotel that said City Park, but that was not the name of the hotel.
That's weird.
So they went there anyway and found that it was incredibly creepy. According to Shelda, as you drove in, there was a man sitting on a bike with a walkie-talkie watching everyone as they came in. And another man by the dumpsters who also appeared to be watching people.
Drugs.
There was also a line of vans with tinted windows and license plates from different states. So there's something going on. And the entire thing obviously made Shelta very uncomfortable, so she left. Now, while this tip didn't turn into anything, it did make Pepita's family consider another theory of what could have happened to her. Human trafficking.
Right.
Albuquerque is yet another hotbed of human trafficking in the U.S. due to its proximity to the Mexican border and the fact that it sits at the intersection of two major highway systems. So Albuquerque is only about 500 miles from the border, and it's just a very easy city to get in and out of.
Which I'm assuming makes it probably prone to drug trafficking as well.
Yeah, exactly. All sorts of trafficking.
Yeah. So that hotel could be either human or drug trafficking.
Or both.
Or both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, other than this potential sighting and very shady hotel, there's no evidence that Pepita is a victim of human trafficking. But with so little information surrounding her case, it can't be discounted either.
Sure. It would seem unlikely given the set of circumstances.
Exactly. Though. Because she was so close with her family, she was in constant contact with them. Nobody noticed any warning signs right. or, you know, anything like that. But again, her family was still 130 miles away. We don't know exactly what was going on in Albuquerque all the time, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So around this time, we're talking May now, about 2 months after her disappearance, Anita was finally able to get in touch with Nick, and he allowed her to come into his home and gather Pepita's belongings. And I don't know the logistics of that. So, I don't know if Nick was there. I don't know if they actually talked. I don't know anything surrounding that. All I know is that Anita was able to bring those items back to her home in Crown Point in May of 2020. The next year of the investigation was quiet. Police did apparently speak to Nick at some point, though it was allegedly over the phone and not in person due to COVID. And I'm assuming this is probably just when he filed the report. I don't know if there was a separate interrogation or anything like that, but regardless, it does appear that he never met with police in person. And also, to my knowledge, his home has never been searched.
Why? Just so many whys.
Yeah. 2020 turned into 2021, and Pepita's family continued their lonely search. Media wasn't interested, and police were still performing what could be called a lackluster investigation at best. Then, in September of 2021, another missing woman captured the entire country's attention, Gabby Petito. Pepita's family was initially dismayed at the disparity between interest in Gabby's case and Pepita's. But Anita decided to seize the opportunity and use the publicity to her advantage. And we saw this with a lot of cases like Pepita's at the time, because once Gabby's case did get so much publicity, we did start to hear from advocates saying, hey,
there's a lot of missing persons.
Exactly. Yeah. And they all deserve attention, right?
Yes.
And so that's when we started hearing about a lot of, you know, cases that hadn't been getting publicity. So Anita really used that to her advantage. She organized a rally in Albuquerque on October 3rd, 2021. The rally was initially planned as an opportunity to hand out flyers. But again, because of this whole, you know, attention to smaller cases, it caught the attention of tribal advocates and local attorneys and turned into a protest for all of Albuquerque's missing and murdered indigenous women. This protest is what finally got local and national media to begin paying attention to Pepita's case. A week later, Albuquerque police contacted Anita and Shelda and asked them to come in for an interview. 18 months after Anita reported her daughter missing.
Right. Only after there's national media attention.
Yeah.
Do they finally start investigating.
And not even investigating. We're not even saying that they're investigating. They're inviting Anita and Shelda in to tell their side of the story of what happened to Pepita. Like, they're just taking a basic statement from the family.
After a year and a half.
Yes. In an interview with the Navajo Times that was published on March 10th, 2022, ahead of the 2-year anniversary of Pepita's disappearance, so about 6 months later, Anita said that she hadn't heard much from investigators after that meeting.
Uh-huh.
Saying, quote, "The detective from Albuquerque is working on the case. They won't give me the whole information. They say it's confidential because the case is active. It's an ongoing loss. It seems like we're not getting all the help now, but at least the detective is doing what he can. He checks up on me every now and then," end quote.
That's sweet, but he's doing what he can by like calling her and saying, hey, how you doing? I've done nothing in your daughter's missing persons case.
Yeah. And again, even then, to my knowledge, they haven't searched Nick's house. They haven't even brought him in person. They haven't interviewed any of his family members. Like, they haven't interviewed any of Pepita's friends. They haven't created a timeline beyond what Anita already knew. Like, they didn't do anything. And she's been missing for 2 years at this point. Not the couple days or couple weeks that they initially told Anita.
Right.
The episode of Never Seen Again that I mentioned earlier aired in August of 2023, over 3 years after Pepita was last seen. By that time, Albuquerque PD had handed off the case to the Attorney General's office.
Like a special investigation?
Yeah.
So they just really didn't want to do anything at all with this case.
Correct. Shockingly, they declined to be interviewed for the episode.
Albuquerque?
Yeah.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, I know, right? But they released a statement, and it read, quote, "The Albuquerque Police Department investigates all missing persons cases with a high level of care and concern. In the case of Pepita Red Hair, detectives followed through with every lead that came in and exhausted all efforts to attempt to locate her."
Exhausted all efforts.
"The case has since been sent over to the Attorney General's office for further investigation in hopes of finding her," end quote.
Okay, so then did the Attorney General's office interview Nick?
Not to my knowledge.
Did they search his home?
Not to my knowledge. So here's the thing. If you look up the news articles and even the Namus site on Pepita Red Hair, everything, even things... like even recent articles, right? Everything, including Namus, says that Albuquerque PD is still the agency in charge of this case. So in everything, it says like, call the Albuquerque PD missing persons unit at blah, 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 blah. The AG's office has not publicly said a word about this case.
So the AG's office basically is doing even less than Albuquerque PD.
And listen, we can't say that. We don't know what they're doing, what they're not doing. What I can say is that publicly, it's not there.
I don't understand this. I do not understand even basic investigation.
Yeah.
From any agency, from either of the agencies involved.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like they just, nothing.
Nothing. And again, it does appear as though Albuquerque at some point did do some sort of an investigation, because I did read, like I mentioned earlier, that they did obtain warrants for Pepita's phone records.
Yeah.
And Crown Point Police eventually did say that they were like coordinating with Albuquerque in terms of like leads that were coming in.
Sure. But what the fuck does Crown Point have to do with it?
Well, I mean, just in case, like, you know, leads had like traced back to Crown Point. Like, for instance, like Nick's mom, I think, works in Crown Point. Like, he has ties there too. So, like, there's potential that, like, you know, maybe they need somebody in Crown Point to like interview somebody or, you know, whatever. So, there does seem to have been something at some point, maybe. But
I mean, like, okay, so they do a phone interview of the boyfriend during COVID. No follow-up with that. His timeline is missing 2 days from not ordinary behavior from Pepita. Then there's Laramie, who died at some point. So that lead was never followed up with.
Right.
Like, they did nothing. They did no investigation.
Yeah, and listen, you know, we don't have access to the files, obviously, because nothing's been released. But it doesn't appear as though any agency, you know, pick one. It doesn't appear as though any agency is any closer to finding Pepita or getting answers than they were back in 2020. And right now, we're going on year four.
Yeah. And I mean, again, nobody's done even the basics.
Right. It doesn't appear as though they have.
So we know they have her phone records, but where does that go? They interviewed Nick. They never searched his home. They never interviewed Laramie.
or checked his phone records or checked his, you know, Facebook or any of that kind of stuff.
They never did any type of physical search.
Nope.
So, I mean, like, how do you do that? How do you do that as a police agency? You just ignore this. And then you say you turn it over to the AG. It's just mind-blowing.
I am her voice now. That's what Anita King told reporters in April 2023 as she and other families rallied for missing and murdered Indigenous people. The group marched from a park to the district attorney's office, the courthouse, and city hall in hopes of raising awareness of the epidemic their community is facing. Anita's life is now focused on finding her daughter. She and her family has had to walk this road mostly alone, but now she at least has her community in her corner, and people all across the country are starting to pay attention. She went on to say, quote, "I'm not walking alone today. There's a lot of supporters, and I'm here with my granddaughter as well, and my daughter. I know. I feel her spirit. She's here," end quote. And yeah, like I said, as of this recording, which is it's February 2024 now, we're a little over a month away from the four-year anniversary of Pepita's disappearance, there are no further updates on her case from the Attorney General's office or anywhere else. Two national shows have been made about this, like Never Seen Again and Disappeared, and that profile isn't enough, hasn't been enough to this point.
To do anything.
So it's important to keep going, to keep publicity on this case and keep the pressure on Albuquerque officials to let them know that Pepita is important and she deserves an actual investigation. Pepita's family has a GoFundMe that they are using to raise money for a reward fund. You can find the link in our show notes. Please donate if you're able, and if you're not, please share. It will go a long way. Pepita Redhair has been missing from Albuquerque, New Mexico since March 27, 2020. She is a Native American woman with brown hair and brown eyes. Pepita has two moles on her chin and a scar on her left eyebrow. She has a tattoo of a dinosaur on her right forearm, a koi fish on her left forearm, a butterfly on her shoulder, and a moon with lightning on her left leg. Pepita was 5'1" and approximately 141 pounds at the time of her disappearance. She was 27 when she went missing. She would be 31 today. Anyone with information regarding Pepita Redhair's disappearance is asked to contact the New Mexico Attorney General's office at mmiwr@nmag.gov. You can see all the sources for this episode, along with photos and videos, at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook, and at @ATTWGPod on Instagram and TikTok. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by me, Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketsa. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!